Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 67 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. I've got a bit of frog in my throat.
Well, we're cutting it fine with this one, aren't we? Because literally, we're struggling to get together this last few days, haven't we?
Oh, it's been crazy. So the world is just so busy.
The show will be online in about 6 hours. It's 10:30 at night. How dedicated to our audience are we?
We're just amazing people.
Were you tempted to say, let's not do it this week?
Not at all.
Really?
Never.
Me neither, honestly. No. How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good.
It's been a bit of a crazy few weeks, hasn't it? I mean, we've just been away and stuff. And
yeah, that's been good. That's a part of what we're looking at today, isn't it? About getting back.
It is, I should say. Yeah, we're talking about getting back up to speed, aren't we? And starting over.
Yep. Because I've been away in Cornwall and stuff like that, doing that kind of stuff. One of the things that I really, really appreciated now that I'm back is in Cornwall, everywhere's uphill. Whatever you do is uphill, and it's like because you're in harbours and things, so you walk up these hills. And I tried running, and it really did for me. Whereas there were people that would just be running up these hills, and when I talk about a hill, I'm talking about maybe 3 kilometres, steep hill. And you see these people, and they're just kind of, and they had a way of running, a knack, a rhythm.
Yep.
And I couldn't find it. I tried, but it was amazing. And since I've come back, and I'm running on the flat, it makes me really appreciate how good they are.
A hill.
It's like I reckon anybody that lives in Cornwall must naturally be fit.
Well, that's a bold claim. Let us know, any Cornwall fans out there.
It's just bizarre. You know, if you want to go to the shop, you have to walk up a hill.
Doesn't go downhill at any point. That's quite...
Yeah, but the thing that you learn is what goes down. It means it comes up again. So you can think, hey, I'm running down a hill, I'm really good. And then you've got to come up the other side.
Yeah. No, I enjoy a good hill, man, especially the cycling.
Yeah.
I've got to the point where you push through it and you get to a certain level of fitness, and that's the bit I really love now.
Yeah.
Not so much, well, especially on tarmac. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Cruising up them hills. But yeah, I know you've been to Cornwall, I've been to Northumberland. Yeah. I've just got back from Ibiza.
Yeah, wild weekend.
Four days with 15 lads in Ibiza and thousands of other freaks. It's a funny old place, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. But man, there's drugs everywhere. It's nuts. It's like everyone's offering you drugs. It's
crazy. Yeah.
Like even just on the street in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I went to a club one night, one of the big trendy clubs, and there's kind of these funny looking guys roaming around the dance floor, just whispering in your ear, "You want some pills?" It's a strange place.
Can I have some aspirins, please?
Yeah. Good fun though. I mean, I didn't partake in any of that stuff. But just hit the last legal
party
drug,
party
of alcohol and a bit, the odd Red Bull to keep me going.
Yeah,
it was good fun. Met some good people.
Yeah,
but it's back to it now, isn't it?
Yeah,
summer is officially over. You can just about feel autumn sort of kind of creeping in a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, it's getting dark, isn't it? And the early morning runs are dark. I'm back to running in the dark.
Yeah, you sound a bit down, so we need to energise people because there'll be a lot of other people out there now.
Come on up here,
listening, weren't they, and thinking so. There is a blog post to accompany this, as ever. Go to liveinthepresent.co.uk to read that. Sean, actually, you have written it, haven't you? Because
I have.
Ree's putting that up on the website right now, I think.
Yeah, that's all happened. Yeah, that's good.
Jolly good.
And what we're looking at in this week and in the blog post is about... it's the end of the holiday season.
Yep.
And that actually means, for us, big chemical changes in the brain. Because in the summer, A, because of the sunlight... and B, because it is that kind of holiday mood and holiday time, all the stress hormones tend to drop down, so the levels of adrenaline and cortisol drop down.
Yep.
So people chill out. Mm-hmm. And you get that feeling of you've been on holiday for a while and you feel relaxed, and then you go back to work and you can't kind of get going.
Yep.
And it's because the levels of adrenaline and cortisol are low.
You know, we are conditioned to that really early in life, aren't we?
Yeah.
Today was a bit of a crazy day in my own life, because my son put on a school uniform. Whoa, that's really strange. He's only 2.5, it's preschool, so it's like he doesn't have to wear a uniform, but we thought, well, it'd be pretty cool.
You thought program him early.
Yeah, get him on that life, treadmill of life, and Yeah, he'll be out of the house before I know it. But we are conditioned, aren't we, at school, in terms of we have that 6 weeks off, and as a kid, that feeling of being on some halls is the best, and then school's coming up, you can feel it, you get a little bit tense. So really early in life, maybe summer halls of that length aren't such a great idea.
I think that that our whole idea of having uptime, downtime is something that we really need to look at, certainly today.
We should investigate that further, shouldn't we?
In terms of each of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea that we have this holiday space where the stress hormones in our system come right down. And it's the stress hormones that create illness and disease, and yet they're hormones that we need.
Yeah.
They keep us going. Yeah, it's getting the balance right. So a lot of times in the workplace now, people talk about work-life balance.
Yeah.
And what that means is that you give your home life as much value as you give your work life, and the other way around.
Sure.
Yeah. I think there's a third one in there, because there is the work that we do, there's the family that we live in. That's two things.
Yep.
But the third thing is us as individuals. Individually, we have needs.
We do.
And those needs, if we fulfil those needs, then we get that balance, that chemical balance right. Because happiness is healthiness.
Old Michael Gove, who's not education secretary anymore, which made a lot of people very happy. Yeah. But he was kind of putting forward the idea of shorter summer halls. And I think the instant reaction was kind of, what are you talking about? Insane. And I'm not sure. I think his reasoning was more, because it's having such an effect, or has such an effect on working parents. They have to take time off work and all that, and productivity. But maybe if looking at it from the angle of conditioning people early on to have this uptime, downtime, maybe he was onto something, whether he knew it or not. I've just found an article, What Length Should Summer Holidays Be, on BBC News. I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's quite interesting. So I'm going to throw that in the show notes.
Yeah, I don't know, how long should a holiday be? I think that if you go away for a week, we know that in terms of that chemistry dropping, that if you go away at the weekend, it takes till about the Tuesday for it to come down.
Right.
For people to actually arrive chemically on their holiday, emotionally arrive.
Yeah.
And if you're only staying there till the Friday, you've only really got a couple of days of chill before you start winding back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to have like 10 days, 2 weeks, maybe a bit longer, makes a lot of sense in terms of your system being able to regulate it.
So. Yeah, I mean, we have talked in the past, and there's more and more being said now about in terms of working life. People don't need to work 5 days a week anymore. They certainly won't in the next 20, 30 years when automation comes in and 70% of all jobs are going to be, you know, taken over by machines.
But the thing is that this is one of the problems with the automated idea, is that what happens to the wealth that those machines create? Because it doesn't go to the people that aren't working. The only way the people get their money is through working.
Yep.
Which is it only happens if we work together as a society, and we accept the fact that we get paid more for doing less, in effect. So we get paid 5 days pay for doing 4 days work.
Yep. We've got some big decisions to make, man. I don't know, I'll find a video that I saw. I think it's called Humans Need Not Apply. And it's a 15-minute short documentary talking about how computers and like programs and machines are going to... 70% of jobs currently out there can be automated. And they probably will, you know.
Yeah.
So we've got some big decisions to make, man.
Yeah.
But we just have to have some crazy, massive welfare state, aren't we? If the machines can create this value, it's just how do we... It's still going to be there, the value, but it's just got to be distributed. Whereas at the moment, it seems to be that top 1% of people that are just getting richer and richer and richer.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm a capitalist, right? But we've got to look after people.
I think you can be an ethical capitalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be competition in some areas that creates that kind of energy of innovation.
Yeah.
That's important.
Mm.
But it's much easier if people are doing things that fulfil them. How many people that are listening to this are doing jobs that they don't want to do.
Yep. Summer holidays are over and you're going back to something you don't want to do.
Yeah, and that's tough.
These are the people we're trying to talk to today, aren't we? So just to get back on track.
And if you think we're going into the dark time, we're going into the winter, everyone's levels, their endorphins, serotonin, going to be dropping down as it gets darker.
Yep.
And we get into that phase, which we usually compensate with by eating comfort foods, the kind of winter foods, the starches, the puddings, all that kind of stuff, you know, huddled around the fire, eating carbs.
Yep.
It is a way of maintaining our body chemistry, mm-hmm. getting our brains working properly.
Yep.
And it's much easier to live in that kind of world if you love what you're doing. You know, there, some people will be saying, oh, no, I love the winter. It's great because of that. You know, we cuddled around the fire and we're having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there'll be lots of people that now that will be thinking, oh, no, not winter again. I hate that.
Yeah. I'm leaning to that side. I don't hate winter, but I'd rather it be bright and sunny more than not.
I emotionally and psychologically, I like to live in a world where you can wear kind of a T-shirt and a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that's kind of like my temperature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't need it to be hotter than that, but I don't want it to be colder than that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. At this time of year, is this when your phone starts ringing a bit more then? And...
Well, normally, but the thing this year is that it hasn't stopped ringing. Normally, my summer months are quieter because people are having a good time. They're on holiday, you know, the sunshine is affecting their systems, they're feeling happy. Who wants to be depressed when it's feeling good?
Sure.
Yeah, but this year, it hasn't stopped. It's been just continuous. And having had that bit of time off, I've come back to a tsunami of stuff to deal with, to the point where I can't fit everything in. You know, I'm having to kind of spread things out over weeks rather than...
Such as this podcast.
Blimey. Yes, well, yeah.
We got there, though.
Example, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure people will be seeing you for all sorts of reasons, but I know we have discussed that you do see more people from this time of year onwards as the autumn approaches. So what kind of advice are you giving to people to kind of kickstart them and get that those energy levels
up? I think that the word for me that people are lacking generally is fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, it could be that people are hard up. Things are stressful. You know, maybe there are problems at work. But it doesn't have to exclude the fact that we need some fun. And it's like, what is it that any of us need that give us the lift? Because that's where the chemistry comes from.
Yep.
And I will say to so many people, and if you're listening to this, I'm saying this to you, what have you done in the last week for you? And the majority of people scratch their heads and go, well, nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, what have you done in the last 2 weeks or the last month? And people, when they start to look at it, are so busy surviving or so busy looking after the needs of other people that they're not attending to themselves.
Right.
And how can you expect to have positive chemistry and a healthy state of mind and a healthy state of well-being if you don't look after yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you start working through that bucket list, eh?
Yeah. If you say to somebody, you know, what is it that you'd like to that would be fun? The amount of people that go, scratch their head and go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is bizarre.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like we've even lost touch with what it is that makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So what makes you feel good, Ed?
Oh, man, all sorts. No, yeah, I mean, I've had a pretty cool month, actually. It's been pretty intense, but I've had two stag do's as well, so Ibiza was pretty wild. But I went to Edinburgh, actually, and there's a cool little story from that. My dad came with us. It was my brother-in-law-to-be. My sister's getting married the weekend as well, so that's another cool thing.
Yeah, happy Hattie.
Yeah, indeed. No, she loves this podcast. She's one of our
biggest fans.
So, yeah, go Hattie. Hope it all went well. She'll probably listen to this afterwards, the wedding.
Yeah.
Probably sitting on a beach on our honeymoon, so hopefully it all went well and you're still together. But yeah, the stag do for that was in Edinburgh. Good couple of nights away, and part of the trip, it was all organised, one of those stag do tour thingies, was whitewater rafting.
Wow.
We drove up in a minibus to somewhere, Pitlochry, kind of near Aviemore.
Were they those big inflatable rafts?
Yeah. So I'd never done it. It was great fun, and did it with my dad and my brother as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talk about my dad quite a lot on here, so he's into his cycling, but he'd never done that. And he was a bit wary, actually, about it, because he had an operation years ago, so he's not good at getting chucked around and stuff.
Yeah.
But he came out of the raft absolutely buzzing, man. He's got a big grin on his face, and he's been googling like where we can do it nearby us, so you can go to Llangollen and do it. Wales.
You know who runs that? It's David's.
I do. Yeah.
Son, yeah.
No, I'm going to drop David a line actually.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's now. Well, it's probably a good time to do it this time of year.
Yeah. Especially as the rivers start to fill again.
Yep.
Yeah.
My dad, what is he? 60-something year old.
Yeah.
And he's found this thing that he loves all of a sudden.
Brilliant.
And he's going to go for it. But I assume he will. I'll go with him as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's never too late, is it?
Yeah.
And then the amount of people that don't have that bucket list or that, you know, it doesn't have to be climbing Mount Everest or anything like that. It could just be, I don't know. Like, on my list was to visit Edinburgh, actually.
Yeah.
And that was, I've done it.
I've had people recently when I've been asking these questions, and one person said to me that what they would really like to do is to read a book. that it's so long since they had the time to sit down and read a book.
Yeah,
you know, and that would give them that feeling of like, yes, I'm important enough to read this book.
Yeah,
you know, that was powerful. Yeah, so that's not climbing Mount Everest; it's just having some space.
Exactly.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could read a book on Mount Everest, I guess. That'd be kill two birds with one stone.
Your hands would freeze while you were doing it.
What about you, Sean? What's on?
Well, I was thinking about it when I was writing the stuff and when we were talking about doing this. I find it hard to find things that I don't enjoy doing, but because back in the beginning of the 80s, I made that fundamental decision about what I do with life, which I've talked about before on here.
Yeah, boring.
I'm boring. I've told you. I haven't been to work since 1981. I do what I do because it's what I choose to do.
I was born in 1981.
Some of it, it's because you're so young. So some of it I get paid for. Some of it I don't. You know, but that's okay. I survive and I do all the things that I want to do. And to me, life is a joy from that point of view. And the things that I do with life, I like doing. So I love my work.
Yeah.
I love things like cooking and making bread, which I do loads of. Yeah, and everything that I enjoy, like I play music and I love that. You know, mm-hmm. In fact, we're doing this podcast, I love that.
It's a good life, you know?
And yep. it's hard to find things that I do with my life that I don't like.
Yep.
In fact, I'm struggling sat here thinking about that, you know.
Accounts? Are your accounts due anytime soon?
Yeah, but that's okay. What that does is it gives me a couple of days where I usually take a couple of days off from everything else. And just spend time focusing on sorting all that stuff out. And while I'm doing that, I'm kind of listening to some audio books or catching up on some other stuff while I'm doing it.
Yep.
I mean, so that's good. You know?
I want to move this conversation on a little bit, take it up a level. We've got the heading is, or the title is Starting Over, so I want to move it on to people who maybe have gone through some serious bad stuff, maybe divorce or something else, and maybe they've got a bit of closure on it and they're ready to kind of move on. So I'm thinking of how, but they're lacking a bit of energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a similar kind of feeling, I guess.
But on a bigger scale.
On a bigger scale.
If you look at the statistics, I'm thinking particularly here about relationships where someone has either been unfaithful or they've been diving into kind of porn or using prostitutes or whatever been going on. And which is relevant to some stuff that I was been doing in terms of like courses and stuff, sex addiction and things like that. But one of the stats that came out of that work was that when a couple go through those kinds of problems and we talk about starting over, it takes an immense investment of time. We're talking about something like it takes 18 months to maybe 2 years to start to repair the damage, but once that bit's done, it takes another 3 years on from that to rebuild what we would describe as trust, that kind of thing. So you're talking about like a 5-year investment in trying to repair damage. And I was thinking about that when going through some of the statistics about how few people have that kind of tenacity to hang into a situation for 5 years and actually make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our divorce rates and the levels of split up, it kind of describes that in a way.
Right.
you know. And I guess that in terms of those kinds of things, of starting over, it takes a huge investment of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be prepared to do that to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the problems, and I guess that any of us that have lived with people that break up and, you know, get together, you'll see people that leave a relationship because of the kind of things we're talking about now. And then they end up in another relationship. But because they haven't resolved the things from the first relationships, they're starting to drag the problems around with them.
Blimey.
Yeah. So the in terms of starting over, if you go back to our very first premise for doing what we do, which is the Live in the Present book, the very first thing starts with, how do you let go of the past?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you don't let go of the past, you can't start over. You know, because you keep dragging it around with you.
It's all in the book, man.
Yeah, yeah. It comes back to that time and again.
Yeah.
You have to learn to forgive or forego, to let go. And if you can't do that, you can't start over.
Yep.
Because you will be forever dragging the past around with you like a weight around your neck.
It's mad how many people aren't willing to do that, innit? Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's kind of understandable, but
It's kind of emotionally understandable, but it's actually impractical.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, any of that stuff. We can understand people's hatreds and negativities, but they don't actually help anybody at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in any way. You can justify them. You can rationalise them.
Sure.
But they don't work. You know? So, I mean, from that point of view, starting over after that kind of thing is hugely difficult. But if you were taking it up another notch and you're looking at things like what happens if your partner dies?
Yeah.
Starting over. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
Because, sure, man. Blimey.
Yeah. Working with people where maybe a partner has died and they're in their 30s or 40s, maybe they met when they were teenagers, and suddenly this person is alone in a world wanting to connect with other people. And people have actually said things, I've heard this so many times, where people have said, you know what, I've got my virginity back. It's like they don't know how to contact another person, and the idea of being naked with another person is terrifying.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that whole idea of being able to start again, start over, do it again. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, I wrote this not thinking about people who maybe have had people pass away on them, more that people who've maybe gone through a breakup. But I was trying to think about the joy of being able to start from afresh and trying to look at it from that angle.
Yeah, I think that if you can do that, then that is... It's the issue is, when someone dies, are we mourning a loss or celebrating a life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is a kind of a glib statement. But if we are celebrating a life, maybe we can move on and enjoy to new things.
Uh-huh.
If we're mourning a death, we have to go through that process, which is so hard, that bereaved process of processing things on.
Sure.
I mean, one of the other things that actually came up today in this thing I was on today, in terms of starting over, is what happens if somebody has lost a leg and they've just had a double mastectomy. Maybe they've just been blinded,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have to start over. They've got to reinvent themselves. They've got to create a new life for themselves. I mean, all those things are hugely difficult unless we're engaged in them, and then they become what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we see people that have overcome amazing things in amazing ways, when you actually talk to those people, usually they're quite sort of diminutive about what they've done. It's like, well, I just did it. You know, I just carried on. Each day I took a step and another step, and then I kind of got where I needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas when we're outside of it, we're thinking, wow, you know, how did you do that? But they just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And very often starting over is about not stopping. It's about not giving up. It's about persistent, consistent, keep going.
Yeah, you know, I think about all the kind of business guys that I'm inspired by or read about, and the amount of... what's the word? It's late, Sean, it's late. Adversity they've had to face, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. The bankrupts, rejection, all kinds of things,
is the word I'm talking about. And they just just keep ploughing through all these garden walls and fences and just... keep going.
Yeah, you'll get someone that comes up with an invention, and they get turned away and turned away and turned away.
Yeah,
and
what's then the suddenly Rovio someone story, takes man? It. The Rovio Angry Birds
yeah.
story.
51.
Game number 51, 52.
It took them 51 goes to get an app, a game that hit the button.
Yeah.
And they must have made a lot of money out of Angry Birds. It must have given so many people so much pleasure.
Oh, man, it's huge.
You know, massive, massive thing. But they didn't give up. They kept going.
Do people like that, and guys like Richard Branson or whatever, have just got a little part of their brain that's wired differently? Or can we all...
I think that the idea of genetics and wiring is real, but I don't think it's definitive. It gives us a propensity towards something.
Yeah, we can rewire.
It may be that we have a propensity to put on weight, but if, it doesn't mean say that we have to keep eating.
Mm.
Then I mean, people will say, "Oh no, genetically, that kind of thing." So maybe Richard Branson has got something in his genetic structure that makes him different to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean say that we can't emulate what he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and work with it. So I understand that idea. But I don't kind of buy it in that sense. I think that any of us can effectively become anything, you know, within reason. I can't, you know, have a baby. I mean, there's a limit. But we can do anything that we put our minds to if we do it persistently and consistently.
Yep.
Our problem is that we give up. You know, think about all those guys you're talking about who started businesses and started to do things that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they started over, sure. They redid it. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's the starting over, it's being able to do that. Yeah. And as we said at the very beginning of this, there's a chemical component in that. You have to build the chemistry to make yourself feel good to do it.
Yeah, and we talked about climbing hills, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And adversity, it's all about that, isn't it?
Training
yourself to be able to go up that hill.
Yeah, but being in Cornwall and watching these people running up hills that I couldn't do. I'm sure that if I was there long enough, I could. You build the muscle and you build the technique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm sure that they all started off in the same position. They didn't just sort of come out the womb and run up a hill. They had to learn how to do it.
No way.
You know, yeah. And that's okay. That's good.
Yeah. It's like that in the Alps, actually. I remember the twice I've been there climbing. Just the people, the kind of person you get in the Alps, just, yeah. But their body shape's just completely different to what you see in, I don't want to upset anyone. Yeah. Flatter lands nearer sea level.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can all get in that shape, man. We can, mentally, physically, yeah. Can't we? We can recondition ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. And it's that phrase that comes up in lots of this work, which is thoughts become things. If we're writing our own script, I'll be writing the script of yes, I can achieve this. Maybe difficult, but yes, I can achieve it.
Mm.
As opposed to no, I'm going to fail.
Sure.
You know, and lots of people will say things, good people have said it to me, sometimes from things that I've said on the podcast, where they say, it's all right for you. You know, it's okay for you because, and it's not any more okay for me than it is for anybody else. I come from the same problems and issues as other people.
Yep.
It's to do with what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use the negative things that happen in life as a trigger to make you do something positive, or do you use them as an excuse to not do anything?
Mm.
You know, it's life.
All right. So let's wrap this up then. How do we? What's the bit of self-help tips we give to people who are going back to work today or tomorrow or next week?
I think that the bit that I want to say in terms of a self-help tip for everybody here is think about fun. Think about fun. Where's your fun? If you're going to get a work-life balance going for yourself, maybe for your family, maybe for you and your partner, maybe for you as an individual,
mm-hmm.
yeah, what is it that's fun? And fun, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be running around, jumping up and down, doing anything in particular. It's whatever fun is for you, it's fun.
Yeah, you don't have to buy a trampoline or anything.
Yeah.
You can do. Might be your thing. Come down the go-kart track with me in Hooton.
Yeah. And if collecting stamps or doing macrame bag weaving floats your boat, do it.
Yeah.
If it makes you smile, then it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's worth doing. Yeah. That's my thing. That's the self-help tip. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not having fun, then you need to start having fun. And if you don't know what fun is, then you've got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But the work is the fun part, which is what,
yeah.
That's the fun part, man.
Yeah.
not work itself. Well, no, work can be fun. You might not enjoy your job. I'm getting confused.
The work of life.
Yeah. Have you got a resource of the week, Sean?
Yeah, I have. I'm going back to a book that was out a while ago. There are different versions of it out now.
Okay.
But it's about emotional intelligence. And this one is emotional intelligence, that why it matters more than IQ. Why does EQ matter more than IQ? And that is a really important thing, because that's what we're talking about in terms of it's how you feel.
Yeah.
And it's getting that emotional intelligence bit right.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a guy called Daniel Coleman, and he's written several books around emotional intelligence.
I like the sound of that.
But it's good. It's good.
Brilliant. I'm just putting that into the show notes now. I'm literally creating the show notes.
You're doing this on the hoof
As you speak. I'm still listening to you. I can multitask.
So what's your resource?
Mine's a blog post by a chap called James Altucher. I think that's how you say it. But more than just a blog post, he does some really... There's lots of good articles on his website, and he's got a podcast as well. But this one is kind of impossible to ignore, because the title is How to Use Heroin Legally. So he does these kind of shock titles, but you dive in and really, really cool stuff. And the premise of this one is that hit that you can get, well, I haven't felt it, but it must be a pretty good hit from heroin, that you can get it naturally by having fun and other things. And
but what that is dopamine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't give it away. I don't know if he mentions that in his blog post.
It's the brain chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like if you... When someone does something that makes you go, wow, that wow is the dopamine in your brain.
Yeah.
Yep. To be in love is the dopamine in your brain. To be stoned on heroin or cocaine is the dopamine in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feeling my dad had when he was white water rafting.
Dopamine in your brain.
Unless he was on heroin, I don't know. Yeah, I shouldn't joke about that. I can joke about anything, you know that. You know me.
I know how insensitive.
I did struggle last week in the suicide episode. I struggled.
Did you?
I held back.
Yeah.
Hope you appreciated that.
Yeah, I do. There are a few people have said to me that they found that quite powerful, that one.
Yeah, no, I'd like to listen back to that one, actually. Yeah.
I've noticed when I was down in Cornwall that there were quite a few, because there's loads of kind of arty galleries and things, that there were quite a few pictures that people had done of Robin Williams.
Right.
And they tended to be... I saw several paintings. There was black and white ones that had a look in the face that was... It had the kind of humour, but also the sadness in them. They were quite weird, the way they'd caught.
Wow. I've been catching up on a few... because there's loads of his stuff on YouTube, his early stand-up things. And so I'm just trying to... It's a shame sometimes it takes a person to pass away to really start to learn more about them. But hey-ho. He'll kind of live forever through YouTube.
Yeah. I guess that's something that will happen for us all now, is that as long as the digital world remains there and we keep contributing to it, that our contribution will be there forever, that people will be able to go back and see.
Yeah, as long as these podcasts stay online, hey.
Archaeology.
My kind of great
podcast archaeologist.
Great, 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 great grandson will be listening to this thinking, I can't even understand what he's saying. He's not even speaking English. Or what the heck's an iPhone? That kind of thing.
Yes.
iPhone 607.
So didn't he speak in a strange way? It sounds so old-fashioned.
Okay, right, let's wrap it up. Next week, we're going to talk about it. Talk about it.
Yeah.
We're talking about success.
Well, that'd be very successful.
What it is.
Yeah, what it is.
What is success, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
I don't think we've done that one yet, and someone has asked that we have a little go at that, so we shall.
Yeah, we will.
And we need to not leave it as late next week to record.
No, we'll be nice and bright.
In fact, we need to get a few in the bag, because I've got a lot on the moment, but I've got another child coming in about 4 weeks, so we need to get a few of these in the can.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
We'll be positive and we'll do.
In the meantime, go to the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, and check out all our past archived podcasts, blog posts, etc. There's loads of freebies. There's some awesome books you can get. If you can leave a review on iTunes for us, for this podcast, that would be brilliant. In fact, I think it's been about a month and a half since we last had one.
You're joking.
So, yeah, dear listeners, if you've been thinking about it for a while and not yet got round to it, get on iTunes and leave us a little review. Yeah, 1 star, 5 star, we don't care. Anything.
Half a star.
Yeah. I'm sick of refreshing the app. Yeah, that'd be cool. No, we do appreciate feedback, don't we, Sean?
We do.
And we do. I think that will... We're done. Should we go to bed?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not together. See you next week, Sean.
Yeah, you take care. Bye.
Bye, everyone.